Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Build that wall. Thank you very much. So, I know, did anybody watch the debate last night, huh? Oh, they are getting ratings in these debates. You know, those debates used to die. They used to die. They were called the ratings graveyard. They would die, and it was sad. But now they're called, you know what? They called me, one of the big networks called on the way out, we'd like to do another debate. You know, they want to do it for themselves. They don't want to do it for us. And they want to have two more debates. I said, maybe let's just put the debates away. We've done just fine. But we've had a good time doing them, and it's been, I guess it's been very helpful because we're leading in every single poll, so I think that's good. Been amazing. We won't disappoint you. I tell you, we won't disappoint you. We are going to do a job. Speaking of that, by the way, I will disappoint you if you don't get out on Tuesday and vote, because it won't happen, okay? So we really need it. Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh? Came from nowhere. I'll tell you what, good. Maybe I'll have to get you vote a big one for me. I'm coming to one of those games, okay? Yeah, Tuesday. On Tuesday, we have to get out and vote, folks. Without that, it's all not going to happen. Sit down. We'll be here for a while. We got plenty of time. We've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of time. I want to thank you for being here. You know, outside, I don't know if you know, so maybe somebody wants to give up their seat because they're kind. But outside, there are thousands and thousands of people trying to get in. And we have a second hall, which is filled. And I can only say I wish we could have had a larger place, but this is beautiful, I will say that. I want to thank Phyllis. She is a great lady. This is a great, great lady. Very exceptional. Very, very exceptional. So, thank you. Thank you. I love you, too. I love you, too. Really do. Really do. Thank you. See, this doesn't get talked about in the press. The love that's in these rooms. I mean, it's love. You know, they talk about a protest or something. They don't talk about what's really happening in these forums and these rooms and these stadiums. They don't talk about the love. The love, the people of this country are incredible people. They want to take it back. They're going to take it back. We're going to fix this country. It's going to be properly done. And you know, a couple of incidents you saw where there's a lot of enthusiasm, folks, a lot of enthusiasm. And frankly, you know, not angry people. We're not angry people. I'm not an angry person. You're not angry. But we do get angry when we see the stupidity with which our country is run and how it's being destroyed. Stupidity. When we look at the Iran deal, where we give a terror nation $150 billion, they're spending it everywhere but us. I don't know if you know. They've gone out, they've ordered missiles from Russia. Didn't know they were supposed to be ordering missiles. They ordered missiles from Russia. They tested missiles last week, and everyone was surprised. I mean, I assume they're in default of their agreement. We don't call anybody in default. John Kerry should have walked four times out of those meetings. Should have walked four times. And he would have either had no deal, which would have been better than this, or he would have had a good deal. But he should have walked four times out of those meetings. Should have started out the first day with a walk when they wouldn't give our prisoners back, because you don't get them back the way we got them. You get them back before you start negotiating, folks. So. But there's a great anger, and there's a great, you know, just hostility toward the people that are running our nation. And they're running it into the ground. And if we had another 4 years of essentially Barack Obama through Hillary, do you ever notice the way she's so nice now? Do you ever notice? No, no. Do you ever notice? Oh, yes, the president's right about this. He's right about that. He's right about this. You know, she was never that way to him. She never liked him, and he never liked her. And now, all of a sudden, everything he's doing is fine. Oh, it's wonderful. He's the greatest president. Oh, he wants that. He wants Keystone. He doesn't want Keystone. Oh, he doesn't want it? Well, then I don't want it either. Oh, do you ever notice? Well, you know why she's doing that, don't you? Oh, is she being nice? I don't know if she's leading a good life right now. Is she being nice? Everything is perfect. The president likes it. I love the president, she says. You know, she really loves him. She didn't like him. She didn't like him before. She didn't like him much before. They fought like crazy. He said things about Bill. You know that, right? And Bill has never forgotten it. And all of a sudden, she's saying he's the greatest thing that ever happened. Well, she's got to live with those statements because he is destroying this country, and we're going to win based on the fact that she is becoming him. It's just not going to happen, folks. We're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let it happen. So, you know, when I originally started on June 16th, I said, we got to do it. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to do this. You think this is easy? It's not easy. Although, I will say, I love doing it in one way. It's like a love fest. Is this a love fest or what? Right? I tell the story of a friend of mine who's a very, very, very successful guy. We'll have him probably handling one of the mid-countries, okay? He's good, but I have bigger killers. I have people that are so good for handling China, Japan, Mexico. Oh, they're so good. Don't we want our best? Don't we want our best? But he's a very good guy, very successful guy, very smart, good negotiator. He said to me, I can't believe that you speak in front of 25, 30,000 people. I said, I do. How is it possible? Then he came to me to Dallas. We had the Dallas Arena, you know, where the Mavericks play, Mark Cuban's team, and are they doing well? I think they're doing well. But we had the arena, and it was packed, and it was 21,000 people, maybe more. And so I'm talking, and it was like an amazing day. The place was going crazy. It was going wild. And he came to me and said, how do you do that? And I said to him, I never even thought of it. He said, it must be really hard. He said, if I have to speak in front of 20 people, it's like a big deal. And I said, you know what? There is such love in these arenas, in these places that I go. It's true that it's easy to do. It's actually easy. It's actually easy to do. And I mean it. You know, I really mean it. And he didn't understand it because he said, you know, how is it possible? But it's true. There is such love in the arena. And I don't have teleprompters, right? I don't have teleprompters. And I don't have a speech that you read. And the nice part about doing it the way I do it, number one, it's more exciting. Number two, you're always prone to make a mistake every once in a while, which is always exciting also. So you have a little bit more pressure, which is good. It's good for the adrenaline. But you don't have the teleprompters. I can talk about today's news. I can talk about stuff that happened an hour ago driving over here. I can tell that. We can tell all sorts of things, and we can do things that you can't do when you're reading off a teleprompter. I was watching Hillary Clinton 2 days ago reading off the biggest teleprompters I've ever seen. And it was outside, and I've never seen this. They were, like, painted black on the back. On the back, they were painted. Get him out of here. Get him out. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's all mouth. Get him out. Get him out. Isn't it great to be at a Trump rally, really? Right? It's more fun. Troublemaker. These are troublemakers. Look, look. Do you notice they're singles? There's very few of them, but they're singles, and they go into one location. There'll be some at other locations, and they'll scream a little bit. We'll have to stop for a couple of minutes. We'll have a good time. We'll have a good time. And, you know, I always say, the cameras now, look at all those cameras back there. Who has that? Look at all those red lights. That means you're on live television. Hello, cameras. You know, I always say I love that because, you know, we don't want to have too much disturbance, but I like it because the only time the cameras show how many people are there, and they can't see up there. Go ahead. Let me hear it up there. Let me hear it. This is a big place. But the only time they show these massive crowds is when they think there's trouble, because trouble means, oh, that's bad. That's bad for Trump. So when I love you, too, even though you got a bad seat up there. Wow. So you'll see, and you'll find out they're singles. It's a single here, a single there. It adds up to like four people, but, you know, they make a big deal. Oh, the riots, the riots. There are no riots. And I want to thank the police. The police do a great job. They do a great job. They do a great job. Thank you. They do a great job, our police. There they are. They are great. Thank you, fellas. Great. And women, thank you very much. So, last night on the debate, I don't quite get this. I got these phenomenal reviews, right? Because I was, like, nice. But isn't the other more, like, exciting? Don't we like the other better? I won all of the debate polls. They say, you know, debate. And, you know, by the way, Ted Cruz is a great debater. But I always say he can debate, but he can't talk, right? Can't talk. But last night was very civil. There was something about it. I said to myself, I'm not going to talk about lying Ted, because, ooh, does he lie? He lies. I'm not going to mention the fact that Governor Kasich, you know the story, he disappeared. He lived in New Hampshire. I mean, he lived there. And he said he's going to win New Hampshire. I won in a landslide. He then lived. He left Ohio. He left Ohio. He then lived. Where did he live? South Carolina. And he was going to win South Carolina. And then all of a sudden, that didn't work out. Then Michigan, his neighboring state, he's going to win Michigan. And he literally moved to Michigan. And he lost. I won in a landslide, right? But Ohio hit oil. Ohio hit oil. And it made a difference. Now the problem with Ohio is the oil is way down, and they've lifted up their budgets 36%, the most in the United States, which is a problem. And the governor, I call him the governor, and I like him. I like him. But he's in favor of the trans, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. It's a disaster. Folks, it's a disaster. You have a massive number of countries, 12 at this moment, and it's going to be increased. Because you know who's lurking in the background of that deal? China. China wants to get in that deal. And they're not in it yet, but they want to get in it. And they want to reap those benefits. It is the dumbest deal. It doesn't talk about monetary manipulation, devaluation of their currency, etc. Doesn't discuss that. All of these countries are lumped in. It's thousands of pages. I heard like 7,000 or 8,000 pages long. Nobody's read it, except for the other countries. They've read it. We haven't read it. The other countries read it. You know, those countries, they read it. We don't read it. And it will be a disaster, I can tell you, because I'm going to be going to Ohio very soon, a place that I love. I've lived there. I did jobs there. When I was young, I did a job with my father called Swifton Village. I bought it, fixed it, and sold it. And it was like an early experience for me. And it was a great experience for me because we did really well with it. And that's like, you know, that's like in golf, you sink the first putt, you feel good for the rest of the round, or in baseball, you get a hit. Well, that was early for me, and it was a great hit for me, and I felt, you know, it gave me almost, you could say, it gave you extra confidence to go on with your life. But you can't do the and this pertains to every place. You can't do that deal. That deal's a disaster. And today in the New York Times and in the Wall Street Journal, they have articles that Trump is totally changing what's happening with respect to our attitude on trade. Now, I like trade, and I'm a free trader. You know, a lot of these very conservative people, of which I'm more conservative than they are in many ways, but on trade, I don't quite qualify. I am a free trader, and free trading is good. We're all free traders. But it's got to be reasonable. It's got to be fair. It's got to be smart, right? So with China this year, we'll lose $505 billion for the privilege of trading with them, right? So then I hear, think about it. 505. By the way, with Mexico, $58 billion we're going to lose. And we will build the wall, folks. We will build the wall. I don't care. We will build the wall, 100%. 100%. With Mexico, $58 billion, we lose with trade. What are we doing? So you almost say, what are you doing? And then the politicians up here say, you can't get Mexico to build the wall. Do you ever notice, even last night, Cruz was saying, and actually Marco didn't say it, but Cruz was saying about the wall. Now it's like routine. He said, yeah, and we're going to do this. We're going to build the wall. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? All of a sudden, you know, these guys, they said, oh, Trump with the wall, forget the wall. Now they're all saying, we'll build, and they do it so light. You know, they're politicians. They have good shtick. They do it nice and lightly. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We'll build the wall. Very important to build the wall. And on to the next subject. You know, they're a little embarrassed. Actually, my wife was watching television, and about a week ago, and you know, you watch it and you see Melania. She'll be a great first lady, I will tell you. She'll be great. But she said, darling, would you come here? Because Ted Cruz just said he's gonna build the wall. This was like a week ago. I said, no way. And I said, and he said, they say it so innocently. And you know the problem in politics? You don't get any credit for it, right? Like when I said, take the oil, leaving Iraq, take the oil. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get him out. Get him out, troublemaker. Get him out of here. Just another single. He's a single. Yeah, get him out. Good, thank you. Boy, that was quick. He got out quick. Big mouth. Hurting this country, folks. Hurting this country. Big mouth. Yeah, get him out. Go home to mommy. Another single. I call them singles. You know, they're singles because they don't have very many people with them, because the people are with us. So they do different places. They don't have many people. So anyway, so on the wall, so what happens is the politicians, who are all taken care of by the special interests, by the way, they're all taken care of by the special interests. So the politicians come up and they say, you'll never get the wall built. Yeah, thank you, officer. And by the way, for the press, the officers are being very gentle. Very gentle. Very gentle. See, nowadays we have to say that, right? We have to be politically correct. Oh, please don't hurt them. They're allowed to get up and interrupt us horribly, and we have to be very, very gentle. They can swing. They can hit people, but if we hit them back, it's a terrible, terrible thing, right? They can get up, and when they're being whisked out, they can raise their bad finger up in the air and drive people, which is very unfair. And some people get very angry at that because you know what that represents. And then when they get a little bit overly angry, they're in trouble. The guy that raised his finger, no, that's no problem. That's no problem. So we're going to be nice and gentle with everybody. I tell all the officers, I have for a while. You know, the first time we had a rally, the first time we had a protest and in one of the first rallies, it was very interesting because the guy was really bad. He was really bad. He was rough, tough, and he was swinging, and he had a voice like Luciano Pavarotti. This guy had, I could have taken this guy with my guidance as manager. I would have made him an opera singer. He was so loud. I didn't mind the voice, but he was a bad guy. He was swinging and hitting people. And guess what? The people in the area hit back. They really hit back, right? And the next day, I read how bad these people were, how rough they were, how tough they were. And the guy was really doing damage, you know. So what do you do? And what's happened is, and that day I said, get him out of here. I want him out of here now. And the press killed me. They said he was too tough. The next day I said, you know, I got killed in this thing with this guy, this bad guy. It wasn't like a regular pro. We had a couple yesterday, protesters. They were so meek and mild. A young girl stands up. She goes, we want to have. Nobody knew. What? I go, where? I said, get out of here. She turned around and ran. It's true. That's the kind of protester we love. But it is true. So the first time I was rough, I said, get him out of here. Get him out now. Take him out. Okay. I got killed in the press. The next day, because I got killed, I said the next day, I had another one, a protester, and I said, very gentle, please, don't hurt him, don't touch him, be very nice. I'm trying to cater to the press, right? Don't hurt him, no, be easy. He was swinging his fists and stuff. Be easy, please. Okay, next day they said, something happened to Trump, he's getting weak. And to me, that was much worse than the first day. I'd rather be too strong than too weak, okay? By a long shot. So we're winning a lot, folks. We're winning a lot. Wasn't that funny last night when Cruz said, I'm the only one that can beat Donald Trump. I have demonstrated that I can beat him. I won 5 states. And I said, could I speak? And I said, but I won 13 states. Right? And Lion Ted just looked at me like this, right? Oh, it's the weirdest thing. You know, and he goes around saying, he won five, he's the only one that could be because he won 5. But he doesn't explain that I'm winning almost all of them. So anyway, we'll keep it going. We have to win Missouri, that's what I have to win. If we don't win Missouri, I'll be very angry. We're gonna win. I think we're gonna do well. I think we're gonna do well everywhere. Because you know what's going on? This is a movement, folks. This is a movement. We're tired of the garbage. We're tired of the garbage. Yeah, get them out of here. Get them out. Young kids, two young kids. Young spoiled kids. Get them out of here. Well, I'll tell you this, they are all writing about us, folks, and they're saying there's nothing like a Trump rally, okay? Nothing. There is nothing. And you know, terrible, terrible. USA, USA, USA. Go home and get a job. Go home, get a job. Get a job. I'll tell you, these are not good people, folks, just so you understand. You know, these are not good people. And I heard this was going to happen, and they said, Mr. Trump, would you like to cancel? I said, absolutely not. These are not good people. These are not the people that made our country great, but we're going to make it great again. But these are not the people. These are the people that are destroying our country. How about letting some people in to take their seats? A lot of people standing. Let some good people in to take their seats. Nobody's being hurt, Chris. Nobody's being hurt. Very rude. See, what they don't realize is they really help us realize how important we are and how important it is what we're doing. They actually hurt themselves. They add nothing. They add nothing, believe me. They add nothing. And there'll be a couple of others jump up pretty soon. But we just go through it and let's do it. Okay, I was told, I can't believe Missouri, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Doesn't matter. Honestly, can I be honest with you? It adds to the flavor. It really does. Makes it more exciting. I mean, isn't this better than listening to a long, boring speech? Right? You can hear that from the other candidates. They don't say anything anyway. You know, part of the problem and part of the reason it takes so long is nobody wants to hurt each other anymore, right? And they're being politically correct the way they take them out. So it takes a little bit longer. And honestly, protesters, they realize it. They realize that there are no consequences to protesting anymore. There used to be consequences. There are none anymore. So that's it. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Are they gone? Yeah, they're gone. Our country has to toughen up, folks. We have to toughen up. These people are bringing us down. Remember that. They're bringing us down. No reason for it. These people are so bad for our country, you have no idea, folks. You have no idea. They contribute nothing, nothing. And look at the police. They take their lives in their hands. All right, yep, get them out. Thank you. Are they out? Are they out? What a detriment. What a detriment. All right. Thank you. Thank you. That right corner is interesting. That's an interesting corner. Okay. Thank you. We better get our country going, folks, because that's the kind of stuff it's taking us down. It's taking us down fast. There has to be some decorum. There has to be some law and order in our country. Okay? There has to be some. The hatred in this country is incredible. The divisiveness is incredible. And we're going to end it. We're going to do things. We're going to end it. Can't be like this. Just can't be like this. You have it all over. You have it all over. But we got to do something, because you just can't, you know, you go on like this. These are people, I want to talk to them. I'd love to meet those people for 10 minutes. What do we want? Think of it. What do we want? We want homes. We want education. We want good borders. We want a strong military. We want a good job. Our jobs are being taken away because we have people that don't know what the hell they're doing in Washington. Our jobs are disappearing. What do we want? And they can't want anything more. They can't want anything more. We want good trade deals. We don't want to lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year for the sake of trade. What does it mean, trade? I want trade where we make money, we don't lose money. We lose our jobs, we lose our factories, and then on top of it, we have wackos like this going for 10 minutes. It's really terrible. It's really terrible. And then if you're a little bit rough, if you're a little rough, you see the abuse the police were taking back there? They were abused. I mean, the police should be suing them. It shouldn't be the other way around. And these people in the media, the most dishonest human beings on earth, they are the worst. They are the worst. So what they'll do is they'll take 10 minutes worth of clips of that. And if one policeman accidentally moves a finger and touches this wise guy, it's like, oh, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. And yet the police are being abused for 10 minutes, okay? Give me a break. Give me a break. We better toughen up, we better smarten up, and we better stop with this political correctness because it's driving us down the tubes. And as I said, I was told it was going to happen here because you have people, great people. I know so many people from this area, great people. But you have people that aren't so great. Get them out. Get them out. Watch the same guy trying to come back, right? See that? In the old days, they didn't come back, I can tell you that. They were gone. They were taken out, they were gone. But I have to say, honestly, seriously, this is more exciting than having, like, a speech, right? And we'll still have the same speech, it just takes a little bit longer, you know? So look, one of the reasons get him out. Get him out of here. All right, thank you. It would be so nice. It would be so nice. I won't say what's on my mind, folks. It would be so nice. I won't say it. I refuse to say it. I'm a nice person. I refuse to say it. So. So, one of the reasons this whole movement, and it is a movement, it's a movement, it's been covered on Time Magazine covers many, many times now. It is a movement, like they say, they've never seen before in the history of our country. That's the movement we're talking about. That's the movement we're talking about. Where, in the primaries, more people have shown up for primary votes than ever before in the history of the Republican Party, and nobody's ever seen anything like it. And I mean by millions and millions of additional people. And they're coming from the Democrats. They're coming from people who have never voted before. They've never voted. And they're coming from independents, but they're coming. And in South Carolina, no matter where we go, no matter where we go, we had numbers 102% more than 4 years ago. We have numbers. We have numbers, I guess it averages 65% more, but that represents many millions of people. And if the Republican so-called establishment is smart, they will embrace it because there's no way we can lose. There's no way we can lose. There's no way we lose. And I'm beating Hillary in the polls, but in certain polls. But I will tell you, those polls are not giving us justice, because I'll tell you what, those polls are phony polls when we're not winning every single time. We should be winning every single time. They are not accounting. Like the Wall Street Journal in South Carolina did a poll. Now, they haven't liked me, although they're starting to like me a lot more. They have two beautiful stories on the front page today, so I'm liking them a little bit better today. I shouldn't even tell the story. But they came up with this phony poll, and I was winning in South Carolina. And what happened, I was going to do great. And the day before the election, they came out with a phony poll. I was like 20 points up. All of a sudden, I was 3 points. And it was bad, you know, psychologically bad for everybody. And they came up, Trump's going to win South Carolina. Then all of a sudden, they come up with this poll that was very close. They put it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Front page. They never do that. They put it on the front page. Then they came up with another national poll the next day where I was way, way down. Then they found out when I won South Carolina in a landslide, it was a phony poll. And they said, how did you get to that poll? Well, we interviewed only very, very, very conservative people. Well, I said, do normal conservatives vote? Do other people vote? Why only that? In other words, it was a phony poll. It's disgusting. NBC, Chuck Todd, NBC, Wall Street Journal. No, no. I never do well in the Wall Street Journal polls. It's set against me. But what they do is they do these things, and it's disgraceful. And I'll tell you what, if they accounted for all of these millions of people, don't forget, in the primaries, Hillary Clinton, who's, look, let's face it, she hasn't got the strength, she hasn't got the stamina to be president, that I can tell you. And we have a communist named Bernie Sanders. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. Give me a break. Now, remember Bernie? Remember Bernie? When the two people came up, the two ladies, young ladies, came up, and they took over his microphone. Do you remember that? That's not happening here, folks. We go down swinging, that's that I can tell you. Remember they came up? They came up, and they started screaming at him, and he's making a speech, and he's going, oh, oh, and they're both screaming. Do you remember this? I said, where the hell is our country going? And the audience wanted to hear him, okay, which I understand. That's why they came. And they're saying, no, no, we want to hear him. We want to hear him. And these two people came up, and they're screaming into the mic. And then eventually he gave up the mic, and he walked back, and he was listening to them speak. I said, how sad is that? How pathetic is that? I don't know. That might be almost as bad as Hillary with her emails, but not quite, right? Not quite. Not quite. So what we've done and what we're doing is we're going to make great deals for this country, because we don't win anymore, folks. We don't win. We don't even win here with protesters anymore. The protesters end up taking over, and frankly, I mean, I have to be honest, from my standpoint, it makes it a little bit more exciting, and it gives me time to think about exactly where I want to go next. It's beautiful. It's like intermission. And the guys that are near the event, they see some pretty good stuff. It's better than going and seeing, right? These guys are great. Oh, that's my group back there. That's a tough group. Hey, you didn't take much of their stuff. I see that. They're booming. All right, thank you, fellas. Good, I appreciate it. But it was that exciting? You had a good time, right? That group was very happy. In fact, they're upset that it's over with. That's what happened. But we don't, as a country, we don't win anymore at all. We don't win with our military. It's really, I mean, it's sad. We can't beat ISIS, right? We can't beat ISIS. We don't win at trade. We lose to everybody at trade. At trade, we lose to everybody. We can't win with health care. Obamacare is a disaster. We're going to repeal it and replace it. We're going to repeal it and replace it with something great. Less expensive and far better. Well, you have your plan, you have your doctor, you're going to keep money, you're going to go out and negotiate your own deals with doctors, because otherwise it's going to run away. It's going to be portable, you're going to be able to move it around. I mean, you know, the healthcare savings plans is one great idea. There's so many good ideas. There are so many. You have to get competition. We have to get rid of the lines between the states so that other companies can compete, because right now it's like monopolies in every state. We're going to have great health care. And you know the amazing thing? It's going to cost, very amazing, it's going to cost the country less, and it's going to cost the people less. I mean, how good is that? And they're going to be tailor-made plans. They're going to be fantastic plans. But the country and the people, you know, Obamacare, your Obamacare numbers are going up 35, 45, 55%, the premiums. And the deductibles are so high that unless you're close to death, you'll never be able to use it. Is that a correct statement? No, it's so high. So you're paying a fortune and you're never going to be able to use it. It's a disaster. Now, in 17, it dies of its own weight because all the people that they didn't want to have, not that they're bad people, but these are the people that aren't going to make the plan fund out. All of the people that they thought they wouldn't have, they're having. All of the people that can pay for it aren't going in. It's a disaster. So it's a catastrophe that's waiting to happen. By the way, Kasich in Ohio brought Obamacare to Ohio. It's a disaster, okay? And people are very unhappy about it. They're very unhappy about it. So what's going to happen is we're going to have great health care. We're going to bring education to a level that it hasn't been. We're getting rid of Common Core. We're getting rid of Common Core. And we're going to have local education. We're going to have it localized. We're going to have our teachers and our parents and all these people that love our students. And we're not going to be guided by a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. that's more interested in their paycheck, and they don't give a damn about Missouri or any place else. So we're going to start winning again. But I'll give it to you on trade because, you know, interestingly, when I first came down on June 16th and I said, I'm going to do it, and it looked like the Academy Awards. There were so many. Look at all those cameras back there still. But they do follow us, folks. They do follow us. But with all of that, and I came down and I said, okay, and I gave the speech and I talked about illegal immigration. And boy, did we have a thunderstorm. Is that right? Rush Limbaugh was all over the place saying he has suffered the greatest incoming of anybody in history that I've ever seen. I did. Incoming meaning from them. There was never anybody. I was excoriated. I was hit so hard from every angle. And what happened is about 2 weeks later, they started saying, well, maybe he's got a point, you know. It's really bad. And then lots of terrible things happened over the months. You had Kate, beautiful Kate, in San Francisco, was shot in the back by an animal that came over 5 times illegally. You had Jamil, whose father's a friend of mine. Jamil was killed, wonderful young boy from Los Angeles, from California. And he was killed, he was shot in the face 3 times by a guy that should have never been in this country. You had the veteran, you had a female, a wonderful woman who was a veteran, 65 years old. She was raped, sodomized and killed in Los Angeles, and many, many more, many, many, many more. And people started saying, you know, maybe Trump's right. Maybe Trump's right. I'm right, believe me. And you know, when I won in New Hampshire, I have a special debt of gratitude for the people of New Hampshire because they gave me that first big victory, and it was by a landslide. And I wasn't supposed to win that. You know, you had other people that were supposed to win it, and all of a sudden, Trump wins in a landslide. But I'd go to New Hampshire, and you'd see these beautiful fields and these beautiful roads and trees, and everything's so beautiful, and you just don't see it. And I'd go to groups, and I'd say, what's your biggest problem in New Hampshire? They'd say, heroin. I said, heroin? It doesn't work out. You know, I mean, it doesn't look like it would be their problem. You don't think of New Hampshire and heroin. It's always the first thing. And it's heroin that comes from the southern border and comes up there, and they sell it like candy. And their kids are addicted. Their kids are badly addicted. And you have many people addicted now beyond kids. I mean, you have people that are elderly that are addicted, and it's a tremendous problem. I said, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it. I promise you, I'm going to stop it. And we're going to work to make your youth better. But the easiest thing to do is stop it so that it can't happen. You know, I don't smoke. I have friends that do smoke. It's very, very hard for them to stop. It's very easy for me not to smoke because you don't get caught. You don't get addicted. You don't get whatever it is, okay? So here's the story. So on the southern border, We're going to do something that's so great. Did you see Vicente Fox, the ex-president of Mexico? Did you see the arrogance and the anger that he had toward the United States? So he's being interviewed by CNN, I think, by CNN the other day. And he talked and he used the F-bomb, right? He used the F-bomb. Can you imagine if I used that word, what would happen? I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be getting ready for the electric chair. This guy was out of control, his anger. Now, he used to say, there'll never be a wall, we won't allow it. Now he said, we'll never pay for the wall. That's a big difference. So far, we're building the wall. Okay? We're building the wall. But he said, and he's really with, you know, we're a very arrogant guy. He said, we will never pay for that blank wall. Now, you know what they do? Yes, we will. You're right. Yes, we will. By the way, you know what the press did? I did this once, not so long. We will never pay for that blank wall. And they beeped me. So everyone thinks I used the word. They say it was terrible. I don't use the word. But they actually went, we will never pay, beep. And everyone said, how could you use that word? These people are the worst. I mean, they are the worst. So former President Fox said, we'll never pay for the wall, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here's the story. The politicians come up to me. First, they say you never build the wall. Then they found out it's easy. You know, in China, 2,000 years ago, they built a wall 13,000 miles long. We need 1,000 miles. It's 2,000, but you have natural barriers and lots of good things. So we need 1,000 miles, right? That's so easy for me. Oh, am I good at building. You know, I'm building the old post office in Washington. I'm ahead of budget, under, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm way under budget. I'm ahead of everything. I'm 2 years under schedule, 2 years. We're ahead of schedule by 2 years, and everyone's saying that's amazing. And interestingly, everybody wanted that job, one of the most competitive jobs in the history of the United States from the GSA. Everybody, you know, it's on Pennsylvania Avenue right by the White House. I liked it because if I don't make the White House, at least I'll still live on Pennsylvania Avenue. I promise. So what happened is they had the best companies, I mean, some of the greatest hotel companies in the world, almost all of them, some of the great office building companies of the world. It was going to be converted. It's an incredible building. And I put in a plan to do a beautiful 300-room, super, super luxury hotel. It'll be, by far, I think it'll be the greatest hotel in the United States when it's finished. Okay, so I put in the plan. Problem is, it's the Obama administration, so I figured it's tough to get. So two things you had to do. Prove massive wealth, because they want to make sure it gets built, and you have to show a great concept. And they choose you. They choose. So there were many, many people. They brought it down to 10 groups. I think they started out with over 100. They brought it down to 10. And I got it. And I got it because my statement was phenomenal, and I got it. They're going to get it done. And I got it. And by the way, I filed my papers, just so you know. I filed my papers, Federal Election Commission. They get the papers, almost 100 pages long. Everyone said he'll never run. And then I said, I'm running. And then all these pundits said, oh, they said, oh, gee, he's running. Then they said, he'll never sign Form A. That's where you sign your entire life away. I signed Form A. They said, what's going on here? This is very strange. Then they said, he'll never put his financials in because maybe he's not as rich as people think. So I put my financials in. They also said, but he'll never do it. And if he did, he'll delay because I had 45-day extensions. You're allowed all these extensions. I could have delayed it for years. I put it in within the time limit of 30 days. I had accountants working round the clock. And the statements are phenomenal. Tremendous assets, tremendous net worth, tremendous cash flow, very little debt, almost no debt. And what happened is everyone was shocked. In fact, you never read about that, right? They went there. They said at the Federal Elections Bureau, they said they've never seen crowds like this. This was the bloodsuckers going to check because they were trying to see if there's something. Maybe the company's not so good. It turned out to be much better than anybody ever envisioned. All the numbers, everything. And it turned out to be much better. And you know what? They hardly write about it. It's sad, right? You know, can you imagine if they were bad? Well, first of all, if it was bad, I wouldn't have run. You can't run because it was bad. Somebody said, now I know you're rich. I said, why? Because I'm a private company. Nobody really knows what I have. Now they do to a certain extent because of those papers. But a friend of mine, very smart, said, now I know you're rich. I said, why? Because you would have never run if you weren't rich, because you have to expose everything. I mean, everything gets put before the public. And I think that's the way. And the reason I tell you that story is this, because it doesn't matter. The happiest people I know aren't necessarily rich. They're people with great families, great kids, you know, et cetera. That's true, by the way. It's true. In fact, some of the most unhappy people, frankly, some of the most unhappy people are the rich ones. I know them, too, and they are miserable, miserable people for the most part. A couple of happy ones. Like me, I'm happy, okay? But the reason I tell you that story is because, and it's very important, because that's the kind of thinking we need running this country now for a while, because our country is dead. Our country is dead. With the $19 trillion, with the tremendous deficits all over the place, we're going up to $21 trillion. We need that kind of thinking. But we need tough thinking on our military. You know, our military is really in bad shape. Our equipment's in bad shape. You know, every time we send equipment over, the enemy takes it, because we give it away to our so-called people that we're fighting with, and a bullet's fired in the air and they run away. We sent 2,300 Humvees, brand new. Now, the wounded warriors are such incredible. They have more guts than all of us, folks, I have to tell you. But many of them were hurt driving around in unprotected Humvees, you know, where the truck blows up and they lose their legs and their arms and they just lose everything. And now we send over 2,300 Humvees, armor-plated, the most incredible things that you've ever seen, where they go, boom, and it's, you're safe, right? The enemy has them. ISIS has them. They took them because they had a skirmish. Bullets were fired, and the people we're backing ran. They just ran. They ran away, and they gave thousands of these things to, I mean, can you imagine? When they said 2,300, I said, 2,300 in the Middle East? How do you get that many? I figured they meant two or three or 23. 2,300 Humvees. They take our rifles. A friend of mine has a son who's serving over in Iraq, actually. He's in the area. And he tells me, good guy, good kid, too. He tells me, I say, what is it? What's it like? And these are great people. I said, what's it like? He said, it's so discouraging because the enemy has better equipment than we have. They take the equipment away, and they use it, and they have better equipment than we have. And he says to me, it's really sad. They're using our latest models of everything. We don't have what they have because they take it away. We send it over to allies, allies that are either dishonest with us or don't want to fight or whatever. Folks, it's all going to change. Believe me, it's all going to be smart. We're not going to be the stupid people anymore. So our military is in trouble. We're going to rebuild our military. We're going to make it so big, so strong, so powerful. The cheapest thing we can do, by the way, nobody's ever going to mess with us again. Nobody, nobody, okay? Because what we have, and I didn't want, and you know, they say, oh, well, maybe he did because he was speaking to Howard Stern months before we went in, and I said, you like Howard Stern, right? He's a good guy, actually. Much different than he is on radio, I will tell you. But, and he asked me before the war started, I said, well, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Let me tell you something. I was always against going into Iraq because it was going to destabilize the Middle East. It turned out I was right for other reasons. There were no, you know, weapons of mass destruction. We have totally destabilized the Middle East. Then Obama takes over, and when he got out the wrong way. And then I said, take the oil. So I said, don't go in. Then I said, take the oil, right? Take the oil. You've been hearing that for years. I said, look, we're there. You know, in the old days when we were a strong country, when we were respected, to the victor belong the spoils, right? Right? We're the only country. We go into these places, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's wherever the hell we go into countries, we fight a war, we leave. What's the purpose? We spend trillions of dollars, thousands of lives, wounded warriors all over the place who we love, and we get nothing. So what do we get in Iraq? We get nothing. $2 trillion we spent. Now, we've spent $4 trillion, $5 trillion in the entire Middle East. We could have rebuilt our country. We could have rebuilt our roads. If our presidents, our great geniuses, if they would have gone to the beach, just go away to the beach, relax, go play golf, relax, we would have been far better off. I mean, frankly, Saddam Hussein was not a nice guy, but he was good at a couple of things. Number one, he was really good at killing terrorists. He would kill those people so fast, there were no terrorists. He was great at that. So we attacked Iraq, which, by the way, did not knock down the World Trade Center, just so you fully understand it. but we attack Iraq. So now it's destabilized. Now Obama comes in, and he does the same thing. He gets out. He announces when he's leaving. So the enemy says, I couldn't believe when I heard that. Now, I'm not a military man, but I do love the military. The military is great. I'm the most militaristic person in this room, believe me. So I'm sitting back, and I'm saying, General Douglas MacArthur, General George Patton, these were tough generals. He's not tough. I don't care about tough. I care about smart. They were smart. They also happened to be tough. Patton was seriously tough, right? He was so tough. He would do things to his men, and the men still said, I'll die for you, sir. I'll die for you. You know, it's a different world than it is today. So here's what happens. We have to get somebody in there. That's right. And we have them. West Point, Annapolis, all of these schools, the Air Force Academy. We have great people. We have great people. But we have faulty thinking. But we're going to build up our military. We're going to take care of our veterans. Our veterans are being mistreated horribly. We're going to take care of our veterans. So here's the bottom line, and I really appreciate your time, and this is, I mean, it's really, oh, this has been pretty exciting. I think I set a record today with these wise guys, you know. But we were nice. Press, see the press, the dishonest media, we were nice. Everything was nice. Nobody got hurt. In fact, the police were extraordinarily nice. They didn't even want to touch anybody, okay? They'll probably find a little incident where there was a touch, and that'll be the end of that officer's career. He'll never be able to get his pension. He'll go home. They'll fire him for police harassment. Isn't it sad? Okay. It's pretty sad, folks. But anyway, but the truth is, and what I talk about all the time, is we have to have a winner country again. Oh, we're not going to have a country. We need borders. We need strength. And, you know, I was going to tell you that with the wall, they come off, and these guys are all bought and paid for by the special interests. Believe me, by the pharmaceutical companies. That's why you don't have proper bidding for drugs. You don't have proper bidding because they own. I mean, Jeb Bush's fundraiser was Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson, he's the chief fundraiser. Now, why? Assuming Jeb Bush made it, which he didn't, but assuming Jeb Bush made it, he's got Woody Johnson of Johnson & Johnson, owns the Jets. Good guy, by the way. But do you think he's going to say it's okay to bid out the drugs company? You know, they don't bid. You have all these special interest groups, like Marco. Marco has guys where they have people in Washington, lobbyists. It says Marco on the forehead. You need something done? Marco. They give him a lot of money. You need something done. Ted Cruz, he's got a lot of different people. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. You know, they're so quiet now. You know why? They're in the room. But they're really enjoying the speech. That's what's happening. The one guy just stood up, and the other one pulled him down, and it looked like he said, no, look, I want to listen to this, okay? Telling you, we come a long way, folks. Ted Cruz is big with the oil and gas. He's big with the banks. He borrowed $1 million from Goldman Sachs and Citi, and he didn't report it on his financial disclosure form. You know why? Because he's Robin Hood. Because he goes around telling all his constituents, I am going to take care of the banks for you. But he forgot to report he had $1 million. Okay, so he borrowed $1 million, didn't put it down. No good. Let me just tell you, folks, very simply. We're going to start, you mean Lion Ted. Lion Ted. It's true. So I didn't want to do it last night of the debate because I wanted to do so. I wanted to act very presidential last night. They said, it would be good. My daughter Ivanka and Jared, her husband, they said, you know, you're a very smart guy. It would be really great tonight if you could act really presidential. So I did. But it's not as exciting as the other, right? You know, you probably had an audience that said, Trump's done a good job tonight, but this is boring. This is not the same. We want to hear about Lion Ted, and we want to hear about Little Marco. And we want to hear about the absentee governor. Okay. So here's the story. We're going to start winning again, folks. We're going to win with our trade. I've got the best people in the world. I've got the best you know, we have the greatest business people in the world. I have the best negotiators in the world. And they're dying to come on board. Rich people, they don't want money. You know, right now we have political hacks negotiating against China. China has these killers, the pyramid. They take their top three people, United States. We're like a trough. It was in the Times today. I made the statement yesterday. China has done the single greatest bank robbery in the history of the world. It's what they've done to the United States. They've taken our money, our jobs. I love China. I do a lot of business with China. I have them as tenants. They're great. They buy condos. They're great. And I'm not angry at China. I'm angry at our leaders for allowing China to get away with it. And it's not going to happen anymore. So what we're going to do is we're going to start winning again, big league, if I get elected. If I don't get elected, guess what, folks? Lots of time. We'll have a lot of fun together saying, oh, isn't it too bad? Look what's happening to our country. We can change it. But I'll tell you what, 4 more years, we're not going to be able to change it again. We really can't. We're not going to be able to change it again. We can change it, and we can change it relatively quickly, and we're going to go to systems for bidding. We're going to go, as an example, in the military where they want a certain plane. They want a certain military something. And they want this one, but they end up getting this one. Because that company, even though the product isn't as good, the plane doesn't go as fast, it doesn't maneuver as well, but that company has better political connections. They take care of these guys better. So they choose the wrong equipment. Those days are gone. I'm self-funding. I'm putting up my own money. Okay? I'm self-funding. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I'll tell you, it's a big difference. And we're going to start winning again. We're going to win with trade. Oh, are we going to win with trade? We're going to win with trade. And as sure as you're sitting there, believe me, so easy. When they say to me, Mexico will never pay for the wall, and I say, excuse me, we have a $58 billion trade deficit with Mexico. The wall's going to cost $10 billion. Believe me. He's a nice young man. Please don't hurt him. Please, he's such a nice young man. Say hi to mom and dad. Say hi to mom and dad. I mean, that's too bad. Right in the middle of my last sentence, he does that. Right in the middle of my last sentence. I had a half a sentence to go. I was finished. I could get the hell out of here, and he stands up. But he was nice. He was very nice. He got up and just sort of said, oh, the police are coming, and he ran out. Okay. He's a dream. Look, we're going to start winning again. We're going to win. We're going to win with the military. We're going to win with our veterans. We're going to take care of them. We're going to win on the border. We're going to win with education. We're going to win with our Second Amendment. We're going to take care of our Second Amendment. We're going to win with health care. We're going to win, win, win. We're going to make America great again. I love you. Go out and vote. Go out and vote. Go out and vote on Tuesday. We are going to win, and we are going to make America great again. I love you all. Thank you. Thank you up there. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Do you need to get by?
Yeah, I'll get this second of your own.
Because I was going to just film up. Not film, I was just going to record a reporter on the scene here. So let me let you get by.
Appreciate it, man.
Is this enough room?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Careful, there's a lot of... Thank you. Oh my.
I don't know.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Mm.
Inside the Peabody Auditorium in St. Louis, Trump got a thunderous response from the capacity crowd. People dressed in American flag garb and Make America Great Again hats lined up around the block to hear Trump's message. But Trump's speech was interrupted multiple times by protesters. Some had to be forcibly removed by police. Trump's response? Trump is seeking to pad his delegate lead in next Tuesday's Missouri and Illinois primaries. Inside the Peabody Opera House, I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Thank you.